God offers us faith. Romans 12:3 says, unto every man is given the measure of faith. So you have faith. You don't need to pray for faith. I don't need to pray for faith. I just need to use the faith that I have. And the more that I use the faith that I have, the stronger it will get. Faith can grow, but the only way it grows is if you use it. And faith is a force. It's actually a powerful force that resides on the inside of our spirit. And when it's released, tremendous things can happen in our life. Like, for example, the Bible says, when a righteous man prays, tremendous power is made available. So faith is a power force. We have faith. But I believe that there's a kind of a law in the universe, which I call use it or lose it. And so if you don't use a muscle, it's going to become atrophied and weak, and you won't be able to use it. If you had a cast on your arm or a cast on your leg, when you take that off, it's been on a long time, the muscle is just weak, and you have to have therapy, and you have to get it all strengthened again. And I believe it's the same way with our faith. Unto every man is given the measure of God's faith. Not just any kind of faith, but the measure of God's faith. You have to have some kind of faith or you wouldn't even get out of bed in the morning. When you get out of bed in the morning, you're putting faith in your legs and faith in the floor that if the two meet, you're going to stand upright. So we operate in faith all the time, a natural kind of faith. You have to have faith to drive in traffic. Amen? You certainly have to have faith to raise children. Got to have a lot of faith to be married and stay married for a long time. Have to have a lot of faith. But when we can begin to understand that it's a God kind of faith that we have as believers in Christ, and that it's God's actual faith that is in us. It's not just a human kind of faith, the kind of faith that we get up in the morning and put our feet on the floor, but this is a special God kind of faith that we have. And Paul even said that he got to the point where he lived by that faith. He said, it's no longer I that live, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who died and gave himself up for me. Now, faith is not something that we necessarily feel or that we see. Faith is a decision that we make about where we're going to put our trust. I want to say it again. Faith is not a feeling that we wait to have. I don't say, oh, I feel really faithful tonight. You know, sometimes I feel really like anointed and full of the Spirit of God when I come out to do this, and sometimes I don't feel that at all. But I found out that if I step into it by faith, God always meets us when we take that step of faith, and He helps us get to where we need to be. But if we stand out here waiting to feel something, then we can be waiting forever, because faith is the substance of things that we don't see and the substance of things that we don't feel. It's actually, the Bible says, evidence. It's a spiritual evidence that we can put our confidence in God. And you know, there are all kinds of people who march off to church every Sunday and never, ever, ever learn how to exercise or release their faith. Faith is a force that resides on the inside of us, and I think that we can release it three ways: by praying, by saying, and by doing. By praying in faith, by saying something in faith. I always talk about the importance of confessing God's word out loud. If we don't learn how to stop saying how we feel and what we think and start saying what God says, we're always going to be in trouble. I don't think I ever do a seminar of any kind, anywhere, that somewhere in that seminar and possibly several places, I talk about the importance of getting into agreement with God verbally and confessing the word of God out loud. And I can prove it to you many, many, many different places in the Bible. So faith is released. When I say, I believe I have favor everywhere that I go, that's a scripture. And if I say that, It helps renew my mind again that I can trust God. I can release my faith when I go out of the house for God to give me favor everywhere that I go and make special things happen in my life. But I was with somebody the other day and they didn't get the parking place they wanted, and this was what they said. That figures, that's my luck. I thought, well, I hope you're around me long enough for me to change that attitude. Because you know what? That's the attitude that the world has and the attitude that I had for a long time. But we can actually release our faith for God to show us favor and do things for us that will leave our mouth hanging open in awe. Little things and big things. And to be honest with you, sometimes I even get more excited about the little things than I do some of the big things. How many of you love to just watch God just be with you in your daily life and just make things happen that you know is God just saying, I'm here. I'm here. And to be honest with you, when I think about all the years and years that I went to church and I loved God. And yes, I heard about trusting God for salvation and I believed in that. And I believe I was saved. I would have gone to heaven if I would have died. But I didn't really know anything about faith. Not real faith. I knew about faith for salvation, but I didn't know about this wonderful gift of faith that God has given us that can bring healing into our life and can help us live free from guilt and condemnation and can enable us to do great things, things that we don't even know how to do. And I just want to encourage you not to ever get lazy and just let that wonderful gift of faith lie dormant in you while you stand around and wait for some feeling to motivate you to do what you should be doing by faith. And if we're doing it by faith, remember that usually means that we're doing it without feeling and quite often without seeing the result at that particular moment. The Bible says when you pray in faith, believe that you receive and you will get it. It doesn't say that you have it yet, but it says, when you pray, believe that you receive and you will get it. Well, what happens between praying, releasing your faith, believing that you receive, what happens between that and when you get it? A lot of patience and a lot of lies from Satan. And we're going to talk all about this. I'm just kind of touching on some of the things that we're going to deal with here this weekend. So faith does you no good if you don't release it. You release your faith by praying, by saying. I mean, you can release your faith all day long just by learning how to confess the Word of God out loud. You get up in the morning and say, God loves me. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. My sins are forgiven. This is going to be a great day. Something good is going to happen to me today. Something good is going to happen through me today. Well, that's kind of a different way of praying. I remember Dave saying to me one time, and you know, God deals with different people in different ways, but I remember Dave saying one time, faith is prayer. And I knew what he meant. Like, when just that simple, I trust you, God. That's prayer. But so often we make such a big ordeal out of prayer and we complicate it and we legalize it to the point where we do it out of duty, but we don't really enjoy it. Prayer is powerful. It changes things. But we have to pray in faith. Now, I believe that we all have probably a lot more fears. Little ones, lots of little ones, maybe some big ones. Usually if they're big ones, you know they're there. But I think that we probably all have lots of little fears that we have just gotten used to and we have put up with for so long that we maybe don't even realize that we have them. What do you think of that? You think that's possible? How many of you think that may be possible? I wonder how many times we kind of think, oh, I think I'll do that. And then a fearful thought comes, And we just go, oh, no, I won't do that. And we don't even really stop to say, well, God, is that something you want me to do? Because when the Bible says fear not, it's not saying don't feel fear. It actually means when you feel fear, don't let it stop you. Courage is not the absence of fear. It's pressing forward in the face of fear. So we need to learn how to, if I'm going to do something, this fearful thought comes, I need to think about what I'm thinking about and realize that that's the devil probably just trying to keep me from something that God wants me to do, and I can address it right then and say, I'm not going to live in fear. I will not live in fear. That's a talk out loud time. I will not live in fear because God is with me, and just keep right on going. Just keep right on going. I tell you what, I am mad at the devil because he is stealing people's destinies through fear. And I don't want you to let the devil steal your destiny. I want you to possess the promised land, not just go to church and hear about it and talk about it all your life and pray about it, but never really live in the promises of God. I want you to enjoy God and enjoy yourself and enjoy the people around you and do all that you can possibly do with your life for the glory of God. But fear will hinder every bit of that. It's probably pitiful if we would know, if we could pile it all up in a pile, everything that the devil has stolen from everybody in this room corporately through fear. We would be absolutely so aggravated at ourselves for letting the enemy do that. Yes, I said letting the enemy do that. There's only one attitude that a Christian can have toward fear that is acceptable to God, and it is very simply this: I will not fear. I will not fear. Now, once again, that doesn't mean you won't feel fear. If you don't understand the difference in what I'm talking about, the next time you feel fear, you're going to think, well, it didn't work for me. Matter of fact, I'm going to really take a step of faith here and say something. I don't even know that I think you can pray fear away. You know what I think happens when you pray? I think that you should pray that God will give you courage to confront fear when it comes your way. You know why? Because Satan is always going to try to keep us from going forward. Always. What did the Apostle Paul say in 1 Corinthians 16:9? A wide door of opportunity has opened unto me, and with it many adversaries. New level, new devil. That's just the way it works. We pray for promotion, and we forget that we're going to get something along with the promotion. A wide door of opportunity opened unto me, and with it many adversaries. Don't ask God for something if you're not ready to pay the price to have it. Sometimes we ask God for something, he tries to give it to us, and then we're like, well, I don't understand what's going on. Well, it's just the devil trying to scare you. So you need to say, I will not fear. As long as you know in your heart that what you're doing is what you believe that God is leading you to do, or has asked you to do, or if it's something in the Word of God, then you need to make sure you keep pressing forward. Fear means to run from, to take flight. And there are so many different kinds of fears. I mean, I looked them all up in a dictionary one time and looked them up in an encyclopedia, and it's the fear of this and the fear and the fear and the fear and this phobia, 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 phobia. And you know, I'm going to preach to myself this weekend as well as you. Because I don't think that I'm a real fearful person, but I do know that there are little fears that I probably put up with in my life, and I don't want to, because I don't believe that God wants us to have fear of any kind. I believe he wants us to be bold, courageous, confident, and full of faith. Bold, courageous, confident, and full of faith. He wants us to walk with our head up, not hanging down. He wants us to walk with purpose, not shuffle around like we don't. Doesn't want our hands hanging down. He wants us alert. He doesn't want us inactive because of fear. He wants us active and giving the devil a nervous breakdown every day. I will not fear. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? If God be for me, who can be against me? If God is on my side, whom shall I fear? Hallelujah. But Joyce, I don't know what's going to happen. Who does? I don't either. And you know what? Even if you think you know, you probably don't. Well, God told me. Yeah, well, he may have told you what's going to happen, but I bet he didn't tell you when. And so you'll get tested just like everybody else. Oh, you made that up. God didn't tell you that. It's never going to happen. You might as well forget it. How much fear do we really permit in our lives? Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name that any kind of fear that we're permitting in our lives through laziness or because we've just put up with it so long we don't even recognize what it is anymore, I pray that you'll reveal it to us and that one by one we would resist and stand against fear until we are completely free from its torment. In Jesus' name, amen. Mark chapter 11 is going to be kind of our founding scripture here this weekend. I want to say this to you enough that you'll leave with it ringing around in your heart. Mark 11, 22. Isn't it so much fun to be together this weekend? And Jesus replying said to them, have faith in God constantly. I love that. Now we can go on and read, truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain be lifted up and thrown into the sea. See, you got to say something. And does not doubt, we're going to deal with that tomorrow night, at all in his heart, but believes that what he says will take place, it will be done for him. For this reason, I'm telling you that whatever you ask for in prayer, believe, trust, and be confident that it is granted to you and you will get it. And I might as well throw this in for good measure. And, well, just stop there, Joyce. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, if you have anything against anyone, anything against anyone, forgive him, leave it, drop it, let it go. So that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins and your trespasses, leaving them and letting them go. Might as well read 26, but... I tell you, it's the ands, the ifs, and the buts in the Bible that we just make all the difference in the world. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your failings and shortcomings. Now, there's no mystery to that. That doesn't need understanding or interpretation, doesn't even need revelation. If you are mad about anything at anybody, offended, bitter, resentful, no matter what it is, you say, well, Joyce, that cannot include what's been done to me. You know why? Because you don't want your faith not to work because of hanging on to some feeling and being mad at somebody who's probably out having a good time and don't even care that you're upset. Amen. Some of you are even mad at people that are dead. Now, how dopey is that? That's sure not going to help. Have faith in God constantly. I love that. That doesn't say have faith until there's an unexpected problem. Maybe a big one. Have faith until you have to wait a long time for what you need God to do. Have faith until life isn't fair. Have faith until somebody treats you wrong. Have faith until your enemies appear to be more blessed than you are. There's no until. I love what Dave says about faith. He says the only godly end to faith should be the manifestation of what you're believing for. Amen. In other words, if I'm believing God for a car I need and I get the car I need, then I don't have to have faith for that anymore, and I can use my faith on something else. But until I have the manifestation, the only thing that should ever keep me from believing is not how long I wait, not how hard it is, not the lies of Satan. The only thing that should ever stop me is if I get the manifestation. And even if we die believing God for something that we never did actually get in reality, God will be pleased. Now, you ain't too excited about that. See, right then when I said that, you got afraid. You mean I'm not going to get it? But see, here's the thing. Now, look at me. Let me tell you something. It's not actually getting what we want that makes us happy. It's the whole attitude of faith that we live in, and it's in trusting God that we find joy and peace. Romans 15:13 says joy and peace are found in believing. It doesn't say joy and peace are found in getting everything you want. So you can be just as happy if you have a heart full of faith as you would if you actually had the thing. And I know you probably don't believe that, but it's true. We make ourselves miserable while we wait. You can wait with doubt and unbelief, or you can wait with a heart of faith saying, God, I believe you're working right now. And I believe that you're not a man that lies, and I believe that you can't be late. And I believe if this is what I'm supposed to have, you're going to get it to me and nobody's going to stop you. And then you could add this. And God, if you don't want me to have it, then I don't want it. Because the truth is, now listen, I mean, if you've prayed in faith and you're willing to wait, and what you've asked for is something that God wants you to have, then what's there to worry about? Because nobody can stop him. Nobody. No devil. Nobody. Nobody. Faith has nothing to do with what we see or what we feel. Faith is something in our heart that says in our heart, God is good. God keeps his word. And if God said he'll do this, then I believe he'll do it. I don't care what I see or what I feel like or what anybody says or how long it takes. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And those who come to him must believe that he is. And I love this part, and that he is the rewarder. Wow. Wow, 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 wow. It's not just that he is, he's good. And he wants to be good to you. Without faith, we cannot receive and walk in God's good plan for our lives. And that's why he's not pleased when we try to come to him without faith, because he wants to give us good things. Faith is not the price that buys the blessings of God. It's simply the hand that reaches out and receives it. Grace is the price that bought every blessing from God. It's not my faith that buys blessings. Jesus bought the blessings with his blood. But I can receive with the hand of faith. There's no reason for God to want to bless me. There's no reason in the natural, if you want to know the truth, for him to want to bless you. I don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. But I'm willing to receive it. I'm willing to have it. And I think the fact that we don't deserve it makes it all the more amazing. 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 Absolutely jaw-dropping amazing. You say, well, what does God want me to do? That's everybody's biggest question. What do you want me to do? You've prayed, you're not getting your breakthrough, so what do you want me to do? He'd probably like you to stop doing something. Try like some worship or something like that. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? God, what do you want me to do? I've done everything I know to do, God, and nothing's worked. I just don't know what to do. And I still remember one day falling in the floor dramatically. Do you ever do the dramatic thing with God? God, I just give up. I've done everything I know to do. God, if nothing's working, I just give up. And honestly, I'm telling you the truth. I heard the Holy Spirit excitedly say, really? Really? I remember that, really? And I thought, well, why are you so excited? And then all of a sudden, it just like came to me like as a revelation, because the only time that God gets to work are those few moments in our life. When we get out of works of the flesh long enough to say, God, I can't do this. If anything gets done, it's going to have to be you. Oh, really? Like, God's surprised by that? Come on, do you ever get dramatic with God? I just can't take anymore. Some of you told God, God, if I don't get a word from you at that seminar, I just can't go on. Well, look at me. Yeah, you will go on. Because God is not going to let you quit. All right, John 6:28. Then they said, what are we to do? Don't you love it? That we may habitually be working the works of God. What are we to do to carry out what God requires? Somebody asked me the other day, God's been really dealing with them about waiting on God and spending time in his presence. And they said, what am I supposed to do while I'm waiting on God? That's the whole point, isn't it? What are we to do? What is it that God requires? And I love this, verse 29. Jesus replied, this is the work, the service that God asks of you, that you believe. See, that's such a shock to some of your systems that are workaholics. You're like, well, yeah, I believe, but what else? Well, obviously, you know, if God tells us to do something, then we need to be obedient. But a lot of times we're in works of the flesh, and then we actually miss the work that God would have us do. We get into what I call works that don't work, and then we get frustrated. because we're not flowing under grace. We're in our own strength trying to be Holy Ghost Junior. Now, I just wonder if I bought that forgiveness book of Joyce's and underlined some stuff and left it laying out on the table at home. I just wonder if maybe my husband would read that. So you get my point. I also love John 11:40. Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you and promise you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Isn't that wonderful? What do you want me to do? Believe. Well, every time we set ourselves to obey, to believe, to receive something by faith, you can count on it. Fear will come. Fear will come. But we can meet it every time with faith and say, "I will not fear. I will not fear." Hebrews 11:1. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Now look at that. Faith has nothing to do with what we see or what we feel. Faith is something in our heart that says in our heart, God is good, God keeps His word, and if God said He'll do this, then I believe He'll do it. I don't care what I see or what I feel like or what anybody says or how long it takes. You have to understand what faith is, because if you think it's something you're supposed to feel, you're going to miss the whole thing. "I just don't feel like God loves me." Don't ever say that. Don't ever say, "I don't feel like God loves me." Know the scripture well enough to say, "I don't care how I feel. I am rooted in His love. His love makes me more than a conqueror through Christ. God loves me. He loves me unconditionally. When I was still an enemy of the cross, He died for me and loved me." Can I tell you that God will never love you any more than He does at this moment right now? Come on. I said God will never love you any more than He does at this moment right now. You say, "Well, what about if I behave better?" Nope. He won't love you any more than He does right now. He'll be happy for you, because that obedience will open up new levels of what God can do in your life. But He won't love you any more than He does right now. God loves even the person that is unsaved as much as He loves those of us who think we are the most religious. We don't obey God to get Him to love us. We obey Him because He loved us first. And we're responding out of that love in amazement that He could love us. Fear is the enemy of faith. Well, everything has to have an opposing force in the earth. And I can't really think of anything that doesn't. You know, for faith to work and be valuable, there has to be fear coming against it. You say, "Well, I'd rather not have all this opposition." Well, you know what? You might be surprised. If you had no opposition, you might be a worse mess than what you... Or we might be worse messes than what we even are. I think of the bee who was taken on a space shuttle into flight to go to some other planet. And in the weightless atmosphere with no gravity, they never had to flap a wing. He just floated around in the weightless atmosphere. No opposition, no wing flapping, just floating around. And the end of the story was he enjoyed the ride, but he died. And that's exactly what would happen to us if all we had to do was just float around. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I surrender all. If all we had to do was just float around and be spiritual, never have to deal with anything, we would never develop. We wouldn't grow. An eaglet, when it's born, has a little tooth on the end of its beak. And when it's still in the egg, it uses that little tooth to peck, 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 peck. I mean, hours and sometimes days of peck, 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 peck. Pecks and pecks and pecks and finally gets a little crack and then peck and peck and peck and peck and peck, 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 peck. Now, you know the way we are? When we have to peck, 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 peck. We're like, come on, God. Enough with the pecking already. Could you get me out of here? Come on. Well, one man reported that he saw the little baby eaglet trying to get out and just decided to help it. Well, it didn't work. It died. It needs the opposition to be strong. And we need opposition to be strong. Amen? So just remember, the next time things are taking a little longer than you'd like, just say, devil, I'm going to keep on pecking. Peck, 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 peck. Pecking in faith. Everything has to have an opposition. For there to be good, there must be evil. Otherwise, who would even know what good was? Love and hatred, depression, joy, harshness, kindness, noise, quiet, positive, negative, generosity, greed, light, dark, fear, faith, opportunities, adversaries. And you know, we see that in each one of these, God gives us one, and the devil comes against us with the other, trying to steal the one that God has given us. But we're going to keep on pecking. I think I'll change the name of this to the Peck of Faith. No. You know why there's opposing forces? Because God does not want robots mechanically serving him, because that's all they can do. Do you know why God created man? He wanted fellowship. He created us for relationship. He wanted someone to have a relationship with. And so he made us in his image, because it's kind of cool if you can fellowship with someone that's kind of like you. Now, you know, I love my dog, but I don't get the same kind of fellowship with my dog that I do a really good friend. Well, sometimes I do, but we won't go there. Okay, God gives these opposing things because he wants us to choose. Our choices, the choices that we make, are some of the most important things that we do in our life. Every choice is a seed that we sow that brings some kind of harvest in our life. When we have the privilege of leading people to Christ, we always tell them, this is the most important decision that you will ever make. And you can make a decision to not stand against fear, to just let it go ahead and rule you, because it'll be a little bit of work to stand against it. Maybe a little uncomfortable sometimes, but then that's your choice, and you will reap the benefit of allowing that fear to stay in your life, which means you won't experience the fullness of everything that God had for you. He'll love you, you'll go to heaven, but there'll be things that you'll miss here that God had planned for you that he won't be able to release to you if you don't learn how to develop your faith and be bold and courageous. I mean, do we honestly think that I could be doing what I'm doing if I was timid and fearful? No. Not is right. Not. I could not. Well, Josh, you're just naturally bold. Well, you know, in some ways I am, but in some ways I wasn't. There have been many things that I've had to do afraid. Many, many, many things that I've had to do afraid. Deuteronomy 30:19, I set before you life and death, good and evil. God, couldn't you just give me the good stuff? I set before you death and life, good and evil. Choose life that you and your descendants may live. We have to be responsible for our choices. Amen? Well, we like to take responsibility for the good ones, the ones that work out good. Oh, yes, praise the Lord. But we're not always so keen on taking responsibility for the bad ones. Let's look at John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My own peace I now give and bequeath unto you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Well, I can't help the way I feel. Feeling fear is not being afraid. Being afraid is caving into the fear and doing what the fear is telling you to do rather than what God is telling you to do. Amen? Do you need me to say that again? Neither let them be afraid. Do not let your heart be afraid. You say, I can't help the way I feel. We're not talking about the way we feel. You can feel afraid, but that doesn't mean you are afraid unless you cave into the fear and do what the fear says instead of what God says. Now, let me be clear. You know, if you're afraid of deep water, I'm not suggesting you go dive off the diving board tonight to prove something. Somebody asked me the other day if I was a good swimmer. I said, well, let's just put it like this. If I fall in, you better come in too. But I have no need to do that. That's not something God is telling me to do. I'm talking about the things that God is telling us to do. Fear hath torment. 1 John 4 says, fear hath torment. Now, obviously, the only way we can ever totally get over fear is to know the perfect love that God has for us. 1 John 4, 16 through 18, perfect love casteth out fear. And he who has fear has not yet known or had love perfected in them. So the more we know and have a revelation on how much God loves us, the less we have to be afraid of, because we just believe like a little kid, my daddy is going to take care of me. And you know what, to be honest, even if we don't get what we wanted, we don't really even care all that much, because we trust Dad so much that we know that what he gives will be better than what we wanted. Amen? And that just gives us such peace. Man, I tell you, when I was struggling to get what I wanted all those years, I was so miserable. And I imagine I got a few people here tonight that you're like right there, like, yep. Well, you know what? Why don't you just give it up? Why torment yourself? Just say, God, if this is ever going to happen, you're the only one that's going to make it happen. And if you want it to happen, nobody's going to stop it from happening. And if you don't want it to happen, I'm not going to make it happen. And you know, probably one of the biggest areas that we fuss and fume over is what we would like to see happen in other people's lives that we love. Come on now. Don't you miss what I'm saying. I said probably one of the biggest problems that we have is fussing and fuming over what we want to see happen in our kids, in the person we're married to, in our parents. You know what I finally figured out? You can't make somebody love God. I don't care how hard we try, we can't make somebody love God. Now, we can live a life in front of them that will make them maybe righteously jealous. We can be salt, make them thirsty, but we can't make them make the choice. If God can't make them, we sure can't make them. It's one of the hardest things to watch somebody that you love make bad decisions. You say, all I can do is pray. Well, let me tell you something. That's the most powerful thing that we can do. But still, when it comes right down to it, God will protect that person's freedom to make their own choice. Amen? When we pray, it gives God an opportunity to work. So keep praying, but losing your joy is not going to make things any better. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed, and do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. Isn't John 14:27 wonderful? So see now, if we put that back up and you look at it realistically, that's given all of us a responsibility. He didn't say, pray and I'll make it all go away. You say, well, then what am I praying for? For strength, for courage, for confidence, for boldness. For the power to endure whatever comes with good temper. To never give up, to never quit, to keep a smile on your face, even when you're hurting so bad you feel like you can't stand it. Not to be phony, but just to let the devil know he's not going to get your joy. And do not for a moment be frightened or intimidated in anything by your opponents and your adversaries. For such constancy and fearlessness. When fear comes against us, what should our position be? To remain constant. To keep going forward. To keep putting one foot in front of the other one. For such constancy and fearlessness will be a clear sign, a proof, and a seal to them, your enemy, of their impending destruction, but a sure token and evidence of your deliverance and salvation, and that from God. So it's almost like when we're in a battle, there's God's watching and the devil's watching. And if we remain constant and steadfast, it's a sign to God that we really have our faith and confidence in Him. But it's a sign to the devil that his day is just about over. Amen.